Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it's just like everything went quiet. I could hear the ringing in my ears, and I could feel my heart race, and so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have. Any kind of power or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing. Like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig? You know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth on one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. This episode, we have V from the Navajo Nation. And in this episode, we talk about this witch that... Well, that's how they describe it, as a witch. That kind of tormented her son there for a while. And she goes on to talk about this tall man. The tall man thing, you know, I've heard so many stories about it, where this tall man might have a hat on, and sometimes a trench coat, but that's something that's a kind of a common occurrence, and I really don't know what that is. You know, I've heard it. I've never seen the tall man, but I've heard a lot of stories about it. That one's interesting to me. And we move on just to talk about spirits in general, and then taking things. You know, that's really a big no-no when you take things from certain places you're just not supposed to. She talks about this spirit that was really fast, like a fast spirit. And yeah, you can listen to that and make of that what you want. Like, I haven't seen anything like that myself before. I mean, I think the fastest type spirit I've seen was this shadow thing jumping a fence. My wife and I seen one time, but that's about it. And she talks a little about witchcraft at the end of the interview. You know, in our way, we don't really have witchcraft per se. That's not how we describe it. It's medicine, and it's really the work. How those things come to be are from the Creator. They're from God. So it's His medicine, really. Like, even though it comes from different spirits, they're all... Ultimately, it comes from Him, right? So even though these beings have certain power that they can give you, you know, dreams, fasting, something like that, or even just getting rights, it all comes from the Creator in the end. Ultimately, it comes from there, you know. So when you talk about witchcraft, it's a little different. Like, for us, we don't really do witchcraft as described, or as kind of, I don't know. I really don't know about it, so I'm kind of out of my element here with that one, but that's what we end our conversation with. And so we're getting closer and closer to our big summer ceremony, and I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking, you know, like every year things happen. It'll just come together, just how it's meant to be every year. But one of the things that, you know, you can help with if you're out there and you think about it is, you know, pick some sweet grass for these people. You know, go bring them some tobacco. You know, something like that. Because when we're out there, we're always really praying for everybody, you know, to succeed in whatever you're doing. You know, in the prayers, I could just speak for my prayers. You know, they're really wide. I try to cover as much as I can. And it gets to that point where you start forgetting. Like, your mind almost just kind of, because you're thirsty and you're kind of tired. And, you know, it just, after a while, it gets to the point where your mind gets kind of cloudy and you can't really think. But anyways, there's, so one time they were getting ready to have this ceremony, and they needed a certain part of this deer, right? This deer. I don't really want to go into it too much. But anyways, I had just come from Heart Butte, and I was driving into Browning, and I seen this deer. And I happened to have my rifle with me. And I thought, you know what? That's a really good plan, to take this deer and to harvest it today, because where I was going that day was up to no good. And this is before I, you know, really got onto the red road. And so doing that, making that decision, it changed a lot for me that day. It really did. It changed a lot in a really good way. And lo and behold, these people needed this certain part of this deer for their ceremony. And I had got it that day. It just, you know, just happened. Wasn't planned, nothing like that, but it all worked out for those folks, you know, what they were doing. And things like that, that's what I'm saying. They always come together somehow. And I always think about the things that happen, like people will end up bringing extra paint because people will need paint. They'll bring extra smudge. And then, I mean, it just all works out. It just so happens that you need it. And, you know, we always say that's the Creator just making it all happen. And so if you're out there and you think about it, you know, stop by these places if you can, you know. Offer, you know, just bring out some tobacco. Here's a can of tobacco for you guys. You can use it for whatever, or, you know, here's a few braids of sweet grass. And, geez, that really goes a long way. So anyways, let's get into these stories with V. All right.
Well, I'm V. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was born and raised on the Navajo Reservation, and I have been living here in Vegas for over 27 years. I grew up very traditional, into the whole peyote meetings and ceremonies and everything like that. And I just... I know this is naive of me, but I always thought that moving off the reservation, things, when it happened to you, like all of the bad stuff stayed on the reservation. But I was definitely wrong on that one. There has been a couple of things that have happened. The one I would like to talk about is about my son.
Yeah.
He was, I want to say, about maybe 6 months old. And the house we were living in at the time, nothing really happened. It started happening once my son was born. And one night, he woke up and I gave him his bottle, and then I went into the kitchen. And my niece and my sister at the time were in the living room. And I didn't turn on any lights or anything. I just went into the kitchen and I was getting more milk and everything. And my niece at the time was 2. She comes walking into the kitchen and she's looking at me and she tells me, "There's a witch in your room." Ooh. And I looked at her and I was like, "What?" She looks at me. She says, "Yeah, there's a witch in your room with your baby. I saw her walk in there." And then she just turns around and walks back off and goes into the living room. And I'm standing there for a minute looking at her like, did she just say what she just said? And just walked off like it was nothing. So I'm just standing there, and next thing you know, I hear my son screaming. So I take off running into the room and I turn on the light and everything, and he's just laying there screaming. So I picked him up and I had him in the cradle board at the time. And so I'm just like carrying him around, walking around in the room, and looked into the restroom and nothing. There was nothing. Huh. So I took him back into the kitchen and we got his bottle and everything, went back into the room. And I left the light on, and it took a minute. It took like about an hour to calm him down. But I just remember just sitting there thinking, like, that's so crazy that she just came in and just said that.
Yeah.
And then after that, like, things you would hear, because we were in the master bedroom, and you would hear things fall on the floor in the restroom. But when you would go in there, there would be nothing on the floor. Hmm. And just little things like that, you would hear things fall and nothing. And she never said anything after that. But the couple months later, we're getting ready to move out, and my son, we're all in the master bedroom. We're sitting on the floor getting ready to eat. All the furniture and everything was out of the house. We're just kind of cleaning up and everything. And my son gets up and he's just looking down, because the master bedroom door looks straight down into the garage.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the door open and he's just standing there just looking down the hall. And finally he starts walking over and he's just standing there just looking. And he starts waving. He's all, "Bye." And he closes the door. And we all just kind of sat there looking at each other. And then he closes the door. And then he sits back down and everything, like nothing. And when we were getting the last of our stuff together, my older niece was in the restroom with my son. And it was just her and him that were in the room. And so she's putting the last of the stuff away, and she heard a woman's voice calling my son's name.
Ooh.
And she turned around, and there was nobody. So she just hurried and got my son and just walked out. So then after that, we actually ended up moving back home, back to New Mexico, and we were staying with one of my aunts. And her room, he did not like going into. He was scared to go into her room. And how her living room is, it's the living room, and then it was the kitchen and her room. But at that time, how we had the furniture set up was the couch would look straight into her room. And every time he would sit on the couch and he'd look in her room, he'd just start screaming. And if we were in the kitchen and he was in the living room, he would start screaming. And I got to the point to where we could not go We could not leave him alone. And it started getting me frustrated. And we wouldn't hear anything fall. We wouldn't, nothing. He just was scared to death of her room. So I had asked one of my nieces if she could come over and kind of feel what was going on. So she came over and she's, you know, sitting there and she starts looking around. She walks into my aunt's room and walks around the whole trailer and everything. And she told us, she says, there's two spirits there. She said, one is a guy and that he was there for our aunt. She says, I don't know why. She's like, but he's there. And she said that he plays with my son. My son's not scared of him, but he plays with her. He plays with him. He said, but when the guy's around, there's a lady. She says, there's an older lady. She stays away. And she says, I don't know who this older lady is. She says, but that's who my son is afraid of. But for some reason, whenever that guy was around, that old lady never came around. And then at that time, my son was about 2 years old, and he couldn't talk. But he would just, every time we would ask him, like, what's there? What do you see? All he kept saying was monkey, a monkey. And we're like, what do you mean? And that's all he would say was just monkey. So a couple months go by, and this just kept happening. He just would start screaming. Sometimes in the middle of the night, he would wake up screaming. But nothing was bothering us. Like we didn't have that scared feeling. We didn't know what was going on. And happened to be a birthday party that we went to, and one of my uncles was there, and he is a medicine man. So I had sat down and I was telling him what was going on and, you know, what was happening with my son. And he's just looking at me. He says, okay. So we called him over and he told him. He sat down and he's holding his hands and he kept telling my son, he says, look at me. He says, look in my eyes. So my son's just standing there just looking at him, and he was looking at him for, I would say, a good maybe 3 minutes. And he says, okay. He's okay. So my son goes off and starts playing, and my uncle told me that it was an old Hispanic lady. He says that she used to have a little boy with her. He says, but that little boy's gone. He says, I don't know what happened to this little boy, but he's no longer with her. So when my son was a baby, he looked like that little boy. So that's why she was following him. She thought that my son belonged to her. So then I asked him, I said, okay, I said, so this is the same lady, the witch that my niece had seen. He says, yeah, she followed you guys down here. He says, it took her a while to find him. But he said she found him. And so that kind of blew me away. I was just like, okay. And then I was telling him too that he would say, we would ask him, like, what's there? What's scaring you? And we had told him about the monkey. And he said the lady was trying to get my son to go into my aunt's bedroom in the closet. And she had a stuffed animal. He said it looked like a monkey. He says, I don't know what it was. So she would show him. So she would stand at my aunt's room door and show him and try to get my son to go with her. So that's what he was seeing.
Wow.
And I just remember getting so mad. And he told me, he says, no, he says, don't say anything. Don't say anything to her. Mm-hmm. And I had asked him, I said, what would have happened if my son went to her, went with her? And he says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. He's like, but that's what she was trying to do. She was trying to get your son to go with her.
Was that go ahead.
No, so that just a couple of weeks later he did a prayer and everything, and after that everything was good, everything was fine after that.
She
never showed up, and it was just so weird.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was asking my niece, my younger niece, she was 4, almost 5 at the time. And I remember asking her if she sees anything. And she says, no. She says, but I see Noe's scared. She says, I see that he's scared. She says, but I don't see what he's seeing. And my uncle had told us that's because she had already seen her. He says she was hiding from her. She didn't want to be seen again. She says that's why.
Hey, I wonder what that spirit was, that woman. I wonder if she just, you know, passed away and never went over and just stayed and lingered. Still here. I mean, I wonder what's up with that. Because she was afraid of that man that was there for your aunt. So it makes me wonder, like, what's her deal, you know? Like, what's wrong with her?
Yeah, and I remember asking him, where did that little boy come from? Mm-hmm. And he says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. He says, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know. But when she seen my son, she thought it was him.
I was going to say, this followed you from Las Vegas?
Yes, it followed us from Las Vegas. And that's why my uncle was saying that she was looking. It took her a minute. It took her a while to find him. But she was looking.
Yeah, I never really thought about that, but it makes sense. You know, in Las Vegas, there's so much going on there that, man, that place is probably just crawling with these things, you know? These different attachments, different entities, whatever. There's probably a lot of spirits down there.
Yeah, and see, I remember when we came down here, my sister was living in an apartment. And when a couple months later, we moved into a bigger apartment, and it was like a brand new apartment complex. And we would hear things. We would hear things fall down. We would hear things moving around. And so we called one of our uncles. And we're telling him what was going on and stuff. And that's when I realized that, you know, it just doesn't happen on the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's stuff everywhere. And that's what our uncle had told us. He said, you don't know what happened on that land. He says, years before, he says, you never know what happened on that land. And that just kind of opened our eyes. We're like, we never thought about it that way. Like, you know, just because something's brand new or you move somewhere else, there's the land always has history. And it's stuff's always going to be there.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
And that's true. We never thought about it that way. And he says, that's why no matter where you go, the new home, he says, you always bless it off. He says, because there's always history. He says, that's something that's never going to go away.
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, even your neighbors, like, when you first get to a place, of course, you smudge it out and everything like that and put up your barriers. But over time, the barriers kind of weaken, you know, and you got to redo them. But, like, say you live right next door to somebody, like, I don't know, in a townhouse or an apartment complex, it's really important to even barrier off those walls pretty good, you know, because those things travel. It doesn't matter where you're at. If there's something mm-hmm. around that they're attracted to, you never know what people are into, you know, and those things can, you know, stumble into your area too if you're not careful about that kind of stuff. It's one of those things where you don't really think about it until it's right in your face, you know.
Exactly. And that's why I was just so excited and be like, yeah, I'm off the reservation, you know, nothing's going to happen. And boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, those spirits are everywhere. I mean, they're in everything. Well, really, like in nature, like how we believe is that there's spirit in everything. I mean, they're all over the place, not just human ones. There's, you know, different animals, even like the water, you know, things like that. It's in everything, trees. Different spirits everywhere. So I mean, and if you think about this land too, this land is all native land, right? So there's mm-hmm. more history there than just what happened with the colonizers showing up. You know, there's a lot more that's happened there. And from my understanding, even some of these places where the natives have lived way before the settlers come in here, there was a lot of atrocities. You know, I wouldn't say a lot, but there were atrocities, and so those areas were really bad. You know, there was a lot of heaviness there. There was a lot of, you know, bad around there, spirits, things like that. There are places, yeah. You know, here's a guy who was talking to me one time, and he's in my family, but he was talking to me, and he said there was a place where something like that happened a long time ago, and, there's still something going on there, like, I don't know how to say it, like, not a haunting, but that thing is still there. Whatever that was that showed up after these, I want to say somebody, like, there was a lot of people murdered there at one point a long time ago, and that thing's still there, that whatever that entity is that's attracted to that, or the person that did that, it's still there. But, I mean, see, things like that, they're so old. They're, like, really, really old. Even in the old days, there were things around, mm-hmm. you know, things yeah. that we don't think about today. I mean, in our Blackfeet stories, there's things you can't even wrap your head around. Like, this one, they called it a vacuum monster. That's, like, how you can translate it today, but it used to suck people in. And at one point... one of our heroes, I guess, got rid of it. You hear stories of giant serpents, things like that. So, I mean, they're really old things we don't ever really talk about. And, like, another one that comes to mind to me is this woman, they call her the Wolverine Woman. And she'll be in the mountains. And if she walks into your camp, there's, you know, she's gonna do away with you. But there's a way to get rid of her, and in the old stories they say you just grab a piece of meat that you're cooking right there and just throw it over your shoulder. She'll go over to that meat and leave you alone. But I mean, see, these things are old. And so not only the recent history of this woman, this Hispanic woman, but even before that, Your uncle's right, you know. You never know what's there or what happened there. All those things are forgotten, you know, but they're there. Yep.
Exactly. Jeez.
So how old is your son now?
He's 12.
Does he remember anything about this time?
No, he doesn't. But my niece does. My niece, yeah, she's gifted. She sees things.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah, that could be pretty hard on people too. You know, just always, because you can't turn it off. It's always there. And I would hate to have that. I don't know what you want to call it. That gift, that whatever it is, but. I know of a person like that, and they've struggled through their lives. They, you know, it's pretty mm-hmm. hard on them, you know, always being around that. But going back to that man that was there for your aunt, what has your uncle said anything about him? Is he something good? Like, I mean, he was playing with your son. Was it?
Yeah, he was saying he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
His reason for being there, he says, but he doesn't bother our aunt.
Yeah,
he's just kind of there.
Huh.
But he doesn't bother anybody else. He doesn't scare her. He doesn't try to make his presence known.
Yeah.
He said he's just there.
Jeez.
And he doesn't know why.
Huh. Does your aunt see him ever?
No, she had no idea. it was funny too, because when we moved in with her that that very night, we got everything moved in, we're getting settled, getting situated. Our aunt comes into our room and she tells us, she says, "Oh, I forgot to tell you that sometimes you'll hear knocking on the windows in the middle of the night." And we looked at each other and we're like, "What?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "I don't know." She says, you'll hear knocking on the back door or on the windows." Just like, "Oh, okay." And she just made it seem like it was nothing.
Yeah, just never mind that.
Yeah, she's like, "It just happens every now and then." Oh, it was funny.
But your boy at the time, was he in constant fear when he was near her bedroom door?
Yeah, any time he would look into her bedroom, he would just start crying. He would freak out. And then if we went into her room, because sometimes we would have to go into her room to use her restroom.
Yeah.
And even if you were standing right next to him, he would just scream.
Mm.
He just hated being in her room.
Oh, poor guy. Jeez.
Yeah, it was just so weird. And I remember one day, he was just screaming, and I got so mad. I was just so tired of him being so scared like that.
Yeah.
That I wanted to lash out. But at the time too, we would always watch like the paranormal shows and things like that. And that's like one of the first things they always say is like, you don't lash out at these spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And I told, I remember telling my uncle, I was like, "Well, you know, at least you learned something from them."
Yeah.
And he started laughing. He's like, "Don't be watching that stuff."
Yeah, they'll attach to that too, you know, because they like that. They like that energy, that, you know, that
yeah.
anger that you have. It's just kind of a way of inviting them in. If you have barriers set up, that's one way that they get broke, you know. And I mean, let's face it, sometimes we get frustrated, we stub our toe, our dog, we step in the dog's, you know, doo-doo or something, and we get mad. I mean, it happens. So those barriers just slowly get broke, you know, over time. They just kind of wear off. So, you know, as a matter of fact, I think I got to redo mine around here, because one night my daughter, she gets back from, where was she at? She was at the gym, and she come back, and I was downstairs. My wife was asleep because she works nights as a nurse at a assisted care facility. And I was downstairs. I wasn't working, so was it a weekend? I think it was. But anyways, she comes down and she says, Dad. And I said, what? She said, I thought you were messing with me. I'm like, what do you mean? She said, my door was open. She said, and I seen your hand, like my hand. She said, yeah. I seen your hand reach into the room and grab the door and slowly close it. But it was your hand. Like you had the side of the door and you were closing it. And the door just shut. And I said, what? She said, yeah. So I got up and I went out. I thought you were just closing my door. And I looked around. There was nobody that come down here. And here you are, just sitting here. You know, I was out in my little man cave here. And she said, I don't know what to do with it. And she said, I keep hearing you call me too. And anyways, like she would hear my voice and she'd be like, you know, she'd come down like, yeah, what's up, Dad? Was you calling me? I'm like, no, I didn't even hear anybody yelling. And she goes, because I keep hearing you. And I start thinking about it. I smudged and prayed. I even had her smudge off. We cedared that room up there, but those barriers, I think I need to put them back up if something could just follow her right back in. But my wife was talking to one of her people, and they're like that. They can they know about these things, and he told her no. He says it ain't nothing that you brought home from work yourself. She says it's something your daughter brought, but it, don't worry about it. It's not there anymore. It just was there for a little bit and it left. So don't worry about it. It ain't nothing. But yeah, I think I got to put my barriers back up too, you know, because I think the last time I did them was about a year ago. So I think I need to go through the whole house and just put them all back up again.
Yeah, we do that every now and then, because like in this house that we're in, my niece has seen a few things, a few different spirits. And When they, me and my sister were listening to one of your episodes, and you had talked about a tall man that he has to kind of kneel down with his head when he, because he's that tall to the ceiling.
Yeah, yep.
My niece seen something like that in the house that we're in now, and it scared her. She said she came out of her, because her room is, my sister's room's right across the hall from hers. And she said she came out of her room and she said he's just standing there. He had his hat on, so he's just all in black. And she said he had to bend down and he was just watching everybody. She says he just stands there and watches everybody walk by. And at that time too, my sister wasn't feeling good. She says she just felt like just nauseated. She wasn't feeling good. My niece said she wasn't feeling good. And so they cedared off. They prayed. They went through the house. And then a couple days later, they were fine. But that was the craziest thing. Because she couldn't describe it. Like, she kept trying to tell us. And then when we heard one of your episodes, my sister's like, that's what she saw. She says, that's exactly what she saw.
Well, that's creepy, because that's something my daughter, she experienced it twice. And I want to say she dreamt about it once. And I want to say she's seen it once, if I remember right. But, yeah, that was it. And this was in a house. Okay, so Oh, Jesus, must have been over about 12 years ago or so. Before we bought this house that we're in now, we were renting, and we rented this place in a nice neighborhood and everything, you know, because I live off the res, because my business is off the res.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, we rented this place, and she said, well, see, my daughter's room was attached to the living room, and it was just an open threshold, like, you know, you couldn't close a door or nothing. It basically looked like an office off of the living room. Anyways, that was her room. She had her all the little dolls, everything in there, and she would sleep in there sometimes, but, you know, we would mainly have her sleep by us. We had a little bed for her at the bottom of our bed, or she'd crawl in bed with us, whatever. But one night she said she was in that room, and I think this is when she said she dreamt about it. She was in that room, and she said it come in, and it looked through that threshold to her room, but he was so tall, you know, like I mean, I'm talking like really tall, like almost like the back of its neck was hunched up to the top of the ceiling.
Yeah,
and it had to bend down to look into that room, and that threshold's like about 6.5 feet, you know, from the floor, and then the ceiling's another 1.5 feet or so up. So it was a tall, and she said he wasn't very thick, kind of skinny too, kind of like a skinny, tall man, and had a hat. It was all dark, you know, really dark. And the other time she said she seen him was in our room. And she was in there sleeping, and she couldn't go to sleep, or she woke up, or something like that. I don't remember. I'd have to ask her again. But it come down there, come down that hallway, and again it, because there's like a little tiny entry, like a little wall that makes the closet on the left-hand side when you come into the room. And so when it came in, it had to like bend down, and it peeked in, and it was standing there staring at all of us while we were asleep. And you know, she said she's seen that twice, but that is a thing. I've heard of it more other places, too, with non-natives. They talk about this tall hat man, you know, this tall one. Because I've seen a hat man myself, and I don't know if you've listened to the episodes where I tell my own personal ones, but I've seen him, too, but he was short. He was really short and wide. But, yeah, there's so many descriptions of this hat man, and I'm not sure if it's all the same spirit. I think they're spirits that look similar. I don't know if they're the exact same one. It could be. I don't know. But it is a thing. That is something that's seen.
Yeah, that was so crazy.
Yeah, the similarities. She's... They're all there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was just so weird. We were listening to the episode, and he's just, my sister was just so shocked. She's like, that's what she's seen. That's exactly how she described it.
Isn't that amazing? Like, you hear this from a whole different part of the country. You don't know these people, but they have the same story. You know, and, and on some level, I bet that's validating for people that are kind of wondering, like, did I see that? Was that real? Am I going crazy?
That's true.
You know, it's kind of validates it.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, my dog.
It's...
Oh, sorry.
No. I was just going to say, like, every place that we have lived at, there was always something there. And sometimes, you know, it would be scary, but other times they would just like make something fall or something, but just to let us know that it was there, but it wasn't scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, now that we talk about it, we think about it, it's just that there was always, no matter where we went, there was always something.
That's how it is in a lot of these places. It's really like that. Like, have you ever felt that when you first move into a place, it's brand new, and you're up, and you're kind of restless, you can't really sleep, because you're almost on edge, like, what's going to happen? I don't know if you've ever felt that, but I felt that in a few places where I moved to, and sure enough, down the road, something happened,
You know, there was something there. Mm-hmm. And when you say that, you know, every place we've stayed at, there was something. I think that it's just everywhere. And, you know, because there's a lot of spirits that they say travel. You know, they're not these ones that stay in one place. They're just kind of like passing by. And sometimes you see them, you know, and sometimes. The other thing I was going to tell you is one of the other old beliefs, too, is when you hear this bang, that's just them showing up. You know, there's a spirit around when you hear the bang, but you can't find anything. Nothing fell. It might sound like a bang on a door, a bang, just a bang somewhere. And you're like, what is that? The old one said it's usually a sign that they showed up. You know, they came here. And in my own mind, no, this is just me. This is not what I think, but I always think to myself, like, geez, when they got here, did they just kind of, you know, literally pop in when they show up? You think goofy about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what that is. And I mean, like one of the, at my dad's house too, when things would happen at that house in Browning on the Blackfeet Res, like so many strange things. Like one of the ones that I always thought was crazy was when we got back, my girlfriend, my now wife, your girlfriend at the time, we came back. I think we were in East Glacier, and we came back to check on my dad's house. And my cousin was there with him, one of my older cousins. And anyways, my dad was asleep in his room. And, you know, they were thirsty characters. They really liked to sip on their drinks, you know. And he was in his mm-hmm. room laid out, and he was done. But my cousin was sitting up, and we get back, and it must have been about midnight or so. But as soon as we walk in, see, because we stopped to use the bathroom, we were kind of, just before we had kids and everything, so we were kind of on the prowl that night too. And it was my wife and her cousin and myself, just us three. Well, anyways, when we walk back in the house, my cousin is sitting with his face really, really close to the TV, like close. And I thought that was strange. I opened the door and I look at him, and he's sitting there almost like, almost like he can't see. But I'm talking, he's like 3 inches from the TV. He's that close. And I'm thinking, what's he doing? You know, and then I start looking around in the house. Every cupboard was open. Every drawer was open. In the kitchen and about everywhere where there was a drawer or, you know, something was open. Uh-huh. And he was just sitting there close to that TV. I walk up to him and I say, hey, did you do this? You know, I was trying to get his attention. You know, I was called his name about 3 times, and finally he looked up at me like really slow. And he just shook his head like slow too. It was creepy, and then he put his face back into that TV. And I just thought, oh, what's wrong with this guy, man? But when I'm thinking about it, he was probably sitting there when all these things were open and closing, whatever, and he probably just had enough and just said, nope, I'm just going to put my face in a TV and ignore it all.
You know,
that's what it kind of looked like to me. So what I did is I went around and I closed all those cupboards and everything. And there was, well, you know, Ascendance, geez, we drink coffee all night. And there was still a pot sitting there that was warm. So I poured a cup of coffee and I put it on that table. And I asked, I don't know who you are or what you're doing here, but, you know, nobody here is raising hell with you. And you know, I know you're here, but take this cup of coffee. You know, here's a cup of coffee here for you. Just sit down and drink that coffee, but don't bother these guys if they're here. You know, whoever's here, just leave them alone. But here, take this coffee, and I'll be back later, but we're leaving. That's all I said. I headed out, and nothing ever happened again. Not one cupboard ever opened in that house since I was there ever again like that. So I don't know what they are, or, you know, that tells me that whatever was there was just traveling through, and it was probably messing with my cousin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeez. When was during spring break, my cousin had asked me if I could watch his girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up and I had my son and my niece with me, and we would stay at his house during the day. Well, one day we went up pretty early, so we were still kind of tired, and we went into one of the bedrooms and we laid down, and I was laying at the edge of the bed, and then it was my niece, my son, and then me. And I just started dozing off, and right behind me, I heard a girl's voice that said, "Get out." Oh. And I didn't know what to do. I froze. I just stayed still. And it took me a minute to finally turn around. And I was hoping like it was one of my nieces or something, like messing with me. So I finally got up and I went walking around. I went into the room and they were all still sleeping. And that was just the creepiest thing. I had never experienced that. And so when my cousin came home and I was telling him about it, and he looked at his wife and he says, "I told you." He's, "I told you something was here." But I will never forget that. That was like the creepiest thing that has ever happened to me like that. That was so weird. I didn't know what to do. And so after that, I would always, like, you know, you do these little scenarios. I do it all the time with my daughter and my older niece. Like, what would you do if, you know, this happened? And I'm just like, well, apparently I would freeze because that's what I did. I'd be that person just standing there.
Yeah, that's creepy, man, when you hear things like that.
Yeah, I did not know what to do. I just laid there. It took me a good couple minutes to finally turn around. But there would never experience anything else like that again. Just that one morning.
You know, that's so odd that I don't know if any of the audience or you can relate to this, but you know, a lot of times when you get, I guess, haunted, or you have a paranormal experience, you're not even expecting it. Like, it's not even on your radar. It's the furthest thing from your mind at that point. And mm-hmm. Something just happens out of nowhere, you know, and it just goes down like that. Like, one time, I mean, I've told this story before, but I guess I'll just tell it again. My mother-in-law, she was the cook up at the senior citizen center in a little town called Heart Butte on our res, and it's about 26 miles out of the main town. Well, anyways, she was the cook there. So on one of the weekends, I think it was a Sunday, she says, because we were at their house, she says, "Hey, can you run me up to the center real quick? I gotta take out a few things for lunch tomorrow." I said, "Yeah." And so I bring her up and I park on the side, and because there's a main entrance where everybody goes in, but those cooks always went in on that side door. And I pull up, I see her take her key out, she undoes that padlock, and she goes in, and I put my head down. I think I'm looking at a mechanics book or something, I don't know, I was reading something, just sitting there waiting for her, and not thinking anything at all. And she walks in, and she says, "Oh, what are you doing?" And that woman that was in there, one of those other ladies that worked there, I think, she kind of says, "Oh, nothing. Just sitting here. I was just doing a few dishes and, you know, whatever." And here my mother-in-law cut her off. "Oh, yeah, well, should I take out this, that, and the other for tomorrow?" And that old lady said, yeah, that sounds good. "Yeah, it's all right. Well, I'll do this, I'll do that, whatever." And I hear her walking around, you know, back and forth to that pantry. I could tell where she's walking, and it's toward that place where they had canned goods and stuff, and then back to that. I could hear it because it's kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting right there by the door. So anyways, she comes out and she padlocks that back up, and I said, "Well," I said, "who's you talking to in there?" And she said, "Nobody." "Yeah, you're messing with me." I got a big smile. She said, no. Like, she looked at me like I was crazy. I said, "Wait a minute. You were talking to somebody in there. I heard you talking to somebody." And she said, no, oh, I was on the phone. I was talking to my coworker that stays up on that hill over there. And I said, what? I said, you ain't going to believe this, but there was an old lady in there answering everything you were saying. And she was answering you. And I told her, you know, what I just heard, you know. And she just kind of shook her head like, oh, jeez. Because that center is, it is haunted. There's a lot of things that happen there, you know, different things like... Mm-hmm. One time they were, I guess they got a shipment of, you know, Cisco, the, what are they, like a condiment, like a food, I don't know, they could get the Cisco crackers, things like that. So they placed an order and they all showed up and I don't know if I'm telling the story right, but it goes something like this. They stack all of the stuff in that room, that pantry area, and they're coming back out to take a break or something, but they go back in there and geez, all that stuff's all over the floor. It's not even stacked anymore. It's just everywhere. And so they gotta pick it back up. But they didn't hear anything. They didn't hear no slamming, nothing like that. But you know, things like that would always happen up there. But what I'm saying is, you never know. It's never even on your radar and something just happens. And mm-hmm. But I don't know what that is, because you know, like the people that go ghost hunting, geez, they're really trying hard to see these or do these and, you know, get a reading or whatever they do. But a lot of times I always think it, Jesus, don't even think about it, and it might happen. I mean, I would never go looking for something like that myself, but you know,
yes,
it just happens out of the blue.
And I've always loved horror movies. Like I don't know what it is. I've always loved them. And my sister will laugh at me. She's like, you love watching like the paranormal, the horror movies and stuff like that. But when stuff happens, like in our house, you're scared. And I said, well, yeah, I love watching it, not being a part of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a participant.
No, you hear people too. They say, Jesus, I always hear everybody has these experiences. I want to have one. I'm always thinking, no, you don't, man. You don't want to have one of these. Just be glad you don't know. Just be glad.
Exactly. There's this place in the southwest part of Vegas. There's a big building. I don't know what it is now, but it used to be like a corporate bank building. And one of my coworkers at that time was asking me, she says, do you know, believe in spirits and everything like that? She's like, you know, with you being Native American. And I looked at her, I was like, yeah, I said, I definitely do. And so she was talking about that building. She said that they heard it was built on a Native American burial ground. And she said that, you know, so definitely things happen there. Mm-hmm. And she said her mom used to work there, and her mom was staying there late one night. And she said she would just hear stuff, like hear the drawers open, hear them closing. And she said, so she was, you know, telling one of her coworkers, and like, oh yeah, people will hear it all the time. People will see stuff. And a couple of times a couple of people had even said that they would see like a spirit, like a Native American, and they would see like the feathers and things like that. It's like just standing there in the hallway. I was like, that's so crazy. But she's like, yeah, she says, that's what we found out. And, you know, just like little things like that. It's just so interesting. That definitely opened my eyes as well to, like, you know, we're not the only one to experience things like that. And one of my other coworkers, because we were all outside talking, the power had went down at our office, so we were just kind of outside just talking and waiting for the power to come back on. And this our other one of our coworkers was standing outside, and she was like, oh, what are you guys talking about? So we were laughing, like, oh, we're talking about, you know, spirits and stuff like that. And she had happened to be an Indian, like the
India.
I don't want to. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. And she was telling us, she's like, oh, yeah. And, she's like, oh, do you believe in spirits? She's like, oh, yeah, definitely. And she's like, you know, just telling us like different things. And she had even mentioned, she says, you know, she's like, she was looking at me. She says, what you call your healers, your medicine men?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah. She says, we call them, she says, what we call them is genies.
Ooh.
And we looked at her, we're like, so the genies are real? She says, yeah. She says, that's what we call our healers. We call them genies. Hmm. I was like, oh, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
And so we were just kind of talking about, and she's like, oh, yeah. She says, we're very traditional, and we believe in stuff like that. And, you know, just kind of going from there, and they're very similar to how we are. And it was so interesting to learn about that. And I was just so fascinated, but we were just like, holy cow, genies are real. And she's like, yeah, she says, that's what we call them. That's what they're known as, genies. And we just thought that, I thought that was so interesting.
I didn't know that either. That is interesting.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Have you
heard, but we just, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, have you heard like any stories from your family that kind of stand out to you? I mean, there's a couple that stand out to me, but I'm curious, do you have any stories like that that come from your family that you guys talk about every now and again?
One, my uncle,
mm-hmm,
had went down to Florida, and a friend of his had asked him, he went down for a conference or something, and my uncle's friend was telling him, he says, oh, I have this this really good friend of mine, you know, stuff's happening to him, there's stuff going on. He says, do you think you could help him? So he says, okay. He says, I can go down there. So they went down to see him. And so the guy was telling him, like, oh, yeah, I went down to, he had just recently went on a trip. I think it was down to Wyoming or South Dakota, one of those places.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that they went hiking and, you know, they were just messing around and stuff like that. And he's just kind of telling him, like, because my uncle had asked him, he says, did you travel anywhere recently? And he's like, oh, yeah. He says, you know, we went down to, again, either Wyoming or South Dakota. He says, my couple of friends want to go hiking, so we went hiking and stuff like that. And he says, since I've came back, he's like, you know, just stuff started happening, things being moved, things falling. He's like, I feel like there's a presence here.
Hmm.
And he says, he's like, you know, it's scaring me, it's scaring my family. And so my uncle says, okay. He says, well, what did you guys do? He says, what did you do when you went hiking? And he says, nothing. He's like, we just went hiking and, you know, just exploring and stuff. And my uncle said, I looked at him, he says, what did you take?
Oh, I knew it.
And he says, he's like, what are you talking about? He says, you took something. He says, that spirit that's here, he says, it followed it.
Mm.
He says, what did you take? And he says, the guy just looked at him. And he went into his room and he came back out. He had an arrowhead.
Mm.
And my uncle said, okay. He says, what you're going to do, he says, you're going to take it to the ocean. He says, you're going to take it and tell him you're sorry you took it. He says, and you're going to throw it. He says, just throw it in the ocean. He says, so that's what he did. He says, that's why. He says, you took that. That was his. He says, and where you guys were at, he says, that was an old, ancient Native American burial ground.
Hmm.
And the guy said, we didn't know. He says, we had no idea. He says, yeah, he says, you took his arrowhead. And he said, after that, he said, it was okay. He said, he was okay. And then he said, another time was there was a lady that he went to see. He says, a good friend of his. He says, a really good friend of his that had moved down to Florida. He says, I went to go see her, and he says, she just looked sad, just was just not her usual bubbly self. He says, I asked her, he says, what's going on? Are you okay? And she says, I don't know. She says, you know, everything's good. I just don't feel, she says, I just feel down all the time. Like, I don't have energy. I don't want to do anything. I don't, you know, just, I just don't want to do anything. And he says, okay. So he started praying and everything. And because she, you know, was a nurse and everything, and she had seen a lot of people pass away, he says, that was weighing her down. He says, all that energy, all that negative energy, he says, was started weighing her down like that. Mm. He says, and that's what I told her. And just things like that, it's just, it really opens your eyes, you know, because, I mean, you don't really, when you're young, you don't think of things affecting you like that. And
yeah.
But it's crazy. It's just
like we all get.
I love.
Oh, sorry. Good.
No. I love hearing things like that. I'm so interested. And with the coworker talking about her experiences and the genies and everything like that, and you know, just it's so crazy.
It is. I mean. And you know, we have to learn it. We're not born like that. You know, we're raised, like in my case, we're raised in that way, you know, to believe in these different things. You know, it's our belief system. It's our ceremonies, you know. And at a certain time, you'll start seeing that, hey, this is real. So it kind of grounds you to it all. You know, it leaves you. But that takes time. You know, you don't just automatically, you know, have this or anything like that. You know, you gotta learn. This is like all of us. But I was gonna share a story with you too that I think you might find interesting. So the person that told me this story is in my family, and I don't know if she wants to be known, so I'll just keep the names out of it. But so one of her friends, and I'm gonna try to be as vague as I can because I don't want anybody to try to, I guess, figure it out. But so one of her friends had passed away, and you know, they were all taking it pretty hard, and they were all, you know, it was one of those, you know, gut punches, right? And here one night she's at home, and that guy shows up. He's in her room, and you know, he's talking and talking to her and stuff. He says, geez, I don't know what's going on. He says, I go home and, like, nobody will talk to me. Like, I don't know what I did, but nobody will talk to me. Like, they just act like I'm not even there. And so I just headed out, you know, and she started crying. And she told him, she says, well, you know, this is what happened to you. I don't want to say that either, like what happened to him exactly, because, you know, somebody might know. But she told him how he passed away, and he sat there, and I'm talking a full body apparition, like just a normal person. And he looked at her and he said, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Wow.
And she said, he said, do you want a smudge with me? And he looked at her and he went, yeah, this one. You know, like, don't smudge me away, kind of, you know. Kind of like that, like, yeah, this one. But she ended up praying. And it sounds weird, but he prayed with her. And then she said, all right, well, I'm going to go to sleep now. And when she woke up, he never came back. But
wow.
Yeah, see, I mean, things just happen. I mean, I don't know how to explain them. The people mm-hmm. that they happen to, they don't even know how to explain them. You know, there are certain things we have ideas about, but, you know, you'd have to speak to, like, a spiritual leader, an elder, or somebody that really knows, like, exactly what it is that's been around it a long time, and, you know, things like that, or people that have those gifts to see things, they might have a better idea, but for the most part, we're kind of like, what just happened? You know, like, how did that happen? Kind of thing, you know?
It's weird because, like I said, I mean, we grew up very traditional and we had a lot of things happen to us growing up. So when things happen, it's just like, it's kind of weird to say, but it's just, it's kind of like nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because that's just how we grew up. And it's just so weird to say that, but it's kind of true in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's kind of normalized, you know, a lot of it.
Yeah.
In Indian country, it's normalized. Like, I was getting spooked last night. Oh, did you smudge? Did you cedar it? Yeah.
Yes.
Or, well, what was it doing to you? Why was this peeking at me? And was you dreaming about it? No. Why? Yeah, just burn some sweet grass and call it a day. You know, it's kind of like that. It's almost kind of nonchalant.
Exactly. That's why I've always just figured it was, you know, just like a Native American thing. Like, stuff only happened on the reservation. And it was just definitely an eye-opener once we moved here, for sure. Because I was just like, oh yeah, I'm leaving that behind, and no, that didn't work.
Well, things are definitely more intense on the res, you know, there really is. I'm talking like every house has stories. Every place you go to, they'll know, you know, if something hasn't happened there, something's happened to them, but in a different place. Everybody has something. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a story of one kind or another. And, you know, that makes me think, even the people that are, you know, because we have transients, you know, we call them street people. They have some of the most scary stories because of the spirits that hang around them. I've heard some pretty intense ones about them, you know, and it's just like, geez, you poor guys, like, I wish you could pick yourselves out of that, or, you know, it could help you something, because there's so much bad around them too. But I mean, on the res, it's definitely more intense, because, well, the reason I'm under that impression is because, I mean, right now, my neighbors on either side of where I live now, they're not, well, they're native on one side, or the other side, they're non-natives, but even at that, if I brought anything up, they'd just probably look at me like I'm crazy, you know?
Yeah.
But back home, it's really not like that. I mean, you have your certain people that weren't raised traditional, and maybe they follow Christianity, so it's against their ways to, like, you know, speak about certain things or view things in a certain, like,
mm-hmm.
I guess one of the views I always kind of, I notice is when they say, well, you were talking to, what, your grandfather came to you in a dream, or you seen your dad, or, you know, something. Like, yeah, you better be careful, because, you know, those are probably something disguising itself. You know, there's always this, they're always taught to not, you know, it's to not even engage or anything like that. But, you know, so a lot of times I feel like if I say anything when I'm in certain crowds, like, I'll probably be looked at funny, so I don't want to intrude on their beliefs. I mean, I know what I believe, and I got stories for days, but I'm not gonna, you know, bring that out there and make anyone feel uncomfortable by it, so I just kind of avoid it, I guess, in certain crowds.
I remember another story. This one just, it kind of freaked me out. It was our cousin. It was during Shiprock Fair. And she said that she went out with a couple of friends. They were out drinking. They actually went out by the rock, by Shiprock. And she said they were out there. They're just, you know, had the music on. They're just out there drinking, laughing, and everything. And she said that there was this one girl. She said she doesn't know who she is, just like a friend of a friend or something. But she did not know this person. She wasn't familiar with this person. But she said that this girl just kind of started acting weird and said that she just took off running, up that steep incline by the shipwreck wall.
Mm-hmm.
So just took off running up there. And so she just started running all against that wall. And she's like, she was fast.
Mm.
It's like they just all looked at each other and like, what the heck? So they all just got back in the car and they left. And so they went back and they were walking around at the carnival. And so this girl just showed up. And she's like, maybe not even 5 minutes after they got to the carnival. She says, this girl just showed up like nothing.
Weird.
And she said that they just all looked at her. And she's just like, why'd you guys leave me?
Oh.
And they were, and she said, she's like, I've never been so scared. And we were looking at her like, yeah, whatever. You know, you were drinking. And she's like, no. She says it. She's like, I swear. She says, you just took off. And she says, you know how far it is. She's like, there's no way. There was nobody else out there. No other cars that they passed. She says, there was no way she would have made it back like 5 minutes after they got back.
Oh.
And we were just like, what the heck? And then we were asking her too. We're like, well, who was she? And she's like, I don't know. And so that she's like, that was another thing. They were all like asking one another, like, oh, where did you meet her? You know? And she says, not one of them knew who this person was. They just all kind of assumed that they were the other person's friend.
Mm.
They said they don't know how she ended up with them. And she's never seen that person again. That was so crazy. It's just like, that's just nuts. So after that, she's like, never again. She says, I'm not going nowhere near the rock.
Wow. Jeez, I think we can, I think we'll end it on that story, unless you have anything else that, you know, like a burning desire type thing that you need to tell.
Okay. There was this one that after we moved back here to Vegas, I started working at this office, and there was this one of my coworkers. Like, I kind of stuck to myself.
Yeah.
But my sister actually worked in the office as well. And she gets along with everybody. And she was really friendly with this girl and everything. And I didn't get a good vibe from her.
Mm.
But I kept my distance. You know, I was nice. I didn't go out of my way to be mean to her or anything. Well, a couple of months go by and I started getting like this bump, I don't know how to explain it. There was just like this bump that started forming on the back of my leg.
Hmm.
And every now and then I'd get this burning sensation, but it didn't hurt. It was just there. And one day I went to the hospital because it was just burning. And they admitted me and everything. They're like, okay, we're going to do these tests and see if there's like any fluid in there, anything like that. So they did a CT scan, they did an X-ray, they did an MRI. And the doctor was telling me, he's like, no, there's nothing, like there's no fluid. And it came to the point to where if I put my leg down, like off the bed, it felt like there was nails just running down my leg where that bump was, like all the fluid or something was just coming down.
Mm.
And I stayed in the hospital for a week. And I was telling my sister, I'm like, I don't know, like, what's going on. I don't know. The doctors don't know. And she's like, okay, maybe we should call our cousin. So I did. I called my cousin and I was telling him what was going on and everything. And I was like, you know, I don't know if it's anything like medical or if there's, you know, somebody did anything to me. I don't know. The doctors aren't telling us anything. They can't find anything. So that kind of, you know, led us to believe like something else was going on. Yeah. So he says, okay. He says, let me pray on it. Let me see. So I said, okay. So that night I had a dream that I was back at our apartment, and I was laying down on the bed, and next thing you know, my cousin shows up and he's standing there in the doorway and he's just looking at me, and he says, okay, he says let's see what's going on. And I sat up in the bed, and as soon as he said that, he like clapped his hands together. And there was this dog, this small white dog, that started going around my leg. It started circling my leg. And then it started moving so fast, like it was just a blur. And it was like doing like, kind of like a figure eight around my leg. And it would stop and it would scratch, like start scratching at my leg. And every time it did that, my leg would burn. And it was the weirdest thing. And I woke up and he told me. So that next day he calls and I was telling him about my dream. And he told me, he says, call uncle. He's like, there's something. He says, I don't know. And I said, okay. So my sister is, so after that, I left. I left the hospital, and that night when we went home, we called my uncle and we told him what was going on and everything. And he says, okay. He says, let me see. He says, let me put prayer down. Let me see. So the next day he calls and he asked me, he says, do you get along with everybody at work? And I looked at him and I was like, yeah, I mean, I think so. I get along with everybody, you know, I'm polite to everybody. And he says, it's somebody at work. And he said that they put a dog's tooth in your leg. And he said, they're learning. He says they're learning about witchcraft. He says, and that's what they did. Okay. And I looked at my sister and I said the person's name. And I said, I bet you anything. Mm-hmm. And so he described the person. And that's exactly who it was. And I was, he says, I'm going to put cedar down. I'm going to pray. He says, we're going to take it out. He says, I'm going to take it out. And I said, okay. And that was on a Friday. So he told me, he says, when you go into work, he says, you go into work on Monday. He says, you watch her. Mm-hmm. She is going to be surprised. She's going to be shocked that you're coming to work. So I said, okay. So I went in. Sure enough, she looked at me and she was just like, you're here? Like, she couldn't believe it. It was the craziest thing.
Was she Navajo too?
No, she was Hispanic.
Oh, dang.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why I was shocked. I was definitely shocked.
Wow.
And I actually had to go back into the hospital because that bump popped. So there was like fluid and blood was coming out and everything. So I had to go back into the hospital. And my uncle and my aunt came down. And that's when they did the prayer again and everything, and they, blessed me off and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was definitely something that would, I couldn't believe. I said, because again, that comes back to me being naive, thinking only Native Americans did stuff like that. And he told me, he says that she's learning. He says someone's teaching her to do stuff like that.
Hmm. Yeah, but that's a bad way. That comes back on them, that everything they send out, it comes back. There's a price they pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I like in a lot of Native ways, most of it, almost all across the board, if they still have those ways, it's all good. It's all for good, and there's those outliers that have it for or use it in a bad way, but that's really few, like very few. So I mean, and I think it's because of the high price you pay for that, So I always think about that too. Like, geez, these guys that do that, they're not gonna last very long, It's gonna be too hard on them, the price they pay for that.
Exactly. And I remember I was so upset, and I remember telling my sister, I said, I don't understand. Like, I said, we don't bother anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We go to work, we come home, we just stay with family. Like, and my uncle had said too that, because, curiosity got the best of me, and I asked him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I said, I don't understand. Like, I didn't do anything to her. And he just looked at me and he's like, just jealousy.
Yeah.
He says, that's what it really comes down to. He says, it's crazy. He's like, but that is what fuels a lot of it. And that's what I told my sister too. I said, there's, like, we go on post stuff on Facebook or Instagram. I said, there's a lot of stuff that I want to post. I said, but I don't because for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody thinking that I'm gloating or I'm bragging.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to talk about my accomplishments at work, or my son's accomplishments. I said, but I'm scared to.
Mm.
But that definitely opened my eyes on that one, because I could not believe it. And I think what not bothered me, but really surprised me, was that dream I had, because it was a dog. It was a small white dog that was going around my leg.
Yeah.
And my uncle said it was a dog tooth.
Mm-hmm.
But that definitely really surprised me. I was like, you hear it all the time. Like, dreams are powerful. They send you messages and things like that. But I just, it didn't really happen to me until then.
Mm-hmm.
And I now, like, when I dream of certain things, I definitely pay more attention to it because of that.
Yeah, those dreams, they're sure powerful, and it's good that you're paying more attention to them, because a lot of people don't. They just brush it off, That's good to hear.
Yeah, that was definitely something, and it's crazy. Like, it definitely really makes it hard to trust people. But right from the beginning, I did not get a good vibe from her. I mean, I tried. I was just, but there was just something off. I just couldn't put my finger on it.
Yeah, your spirit knew. They say, like, when you have those feelings, it's your spirit, you know, it's sensing something in that other person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting, though. I mean, when I first heard that, it was one of my wife's elders was talking about that. He says, you know, when you get a bad feeling about somebody, and I said, yeah. He said, that's your spirit. Your spirit's telling you there's something wrong here. And so I've always kind of listened to that, you know, after hearing that years ago.
Yeah, and it's true because, I mean, you not necessarily read people, but there's certain people that you can figure out who you can open up to or who you, you know, kind of keep your distance from.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that. Like, there's, you just get certain vibes from people and you're just like, okay, I see you.
Yeah.
Well, geez, it's crazy.
I appreciate you sharing these stories. I think we've run out of time for now. But, geez, thanks for coming on the show and trusting me with your stories. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for giving us a place to actually be able to tell these stories, because it's definitely interesting to listen to, for sure. It's good to know that there's a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
And now we do have a place to be able to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to share these too, you know, because it's so interesting, like you were saying, there's so much out in our stories that haven't even been told yet or are waiting to be told. You know, I think about down the road, there's so much more here, and I would encourage anybody else to share too. I mean, you, even if you hear more stories or, you know, something else happens, just contact me. I always, you know, you're always welcome. It's a place here for you.
Well, thank you.
Well, I guess with that, so I wish you good night, and thanks again for coming on, V. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Yeah, V has some good stories, and, you know, she's experienced a lot in her life, moving off to res and then moving back. It's always one of these things when, because I've moved off to res too, you know, I live off the res, that's where my business is, and go home as much as I can, everything like that, all my family's there. And when you're off to res, it's a whole different world. And then when you go back, you're actually home. Everything feels normal there, you know. But it's kind of interesting to think, you know, because I've never thought, I always grew up knowing that those spirits travel, like there's no border to them. Just because there's a res line doesn't mean that's where they all stop. And to hear someone think like that, it just, I guess, kind of opens my mind, because I never really realized people really kind of thought like that sometimes. And that's just how it is, you know, different people have different thoughts. But I never really thought about that. It makes me wonder too, because, you know, there is more intensity on the res. I'll give it that. There really is. But spirits are everywhere. And, you know, the Indian burial ground kind of thing. Well, this whole land was indigenous. This whole land is an Indian burial ground, really. There's a lot here, a lot of history across all of this North America, you know. I mean, geez, South America, you know, everywhere. There's a lot of history here in these lands, in these Americas. And so, I guess, I was kind of thinking about things like that. And to all the ones, again, that live off the res, you know, I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're listening. And to all our brothers and sisters overseas, across the world, I'm glad you're here with us. To all the listeners and the Patreons, the members-only episodes, I appreciate each and every one of you guys. And we are doing a members-only episode after this one. So the next one to come out is with Dawn from the Don't Whistle at Night podcast. And the reason it's a members-only episode is because those stories, Wow. I mean, all of these stories are good, right? But he has somewhere he talks about these old stories, and he's also from the Diné people, the Navajo, and he tells a lot of good stories. So, you know, if you're not a member, go ahead and join on Patreon. That's where you can listen to the members only episodes. And if you listen on YouTube or anywhere else and you notice a gap in the sequence of the episodes, that's where those episodes are at. They're on Patreon. And you can sign up. It's like $5 a month. And you can just binge as many as you want. You know, cancel it, whatever. And then binge some more again whenever you get a chance. You don't have to stay as a member the whole time. But that's kind of how I do that. Just to help pay for the services that this podcast needs to reach everybody. So anyways, yeah, that's where to find them. But there's some really good stories with Don on the Members Only episode coming up after this one. Well, everybody, until next time.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.